Will the members please register their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the quorum.
38 present, 2 absent.
Representative Miller?
Mr. Speaker, Representatives Byrne, Cooper, and Oster are excused from the call of the House today, although Representative Byrne is present, and that counts for all members.
Our chaplain today is Lieutenant Floyd Bacon of the Salvation Army. Will the House please rise for prayer?
One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Our Father, because you are the strength of my life, I have no reason to fear what life may hold for me. This morning, our Father, we praise and we thank you for victories past. We praise and thank you for the assurance you have given of your divine protection for the future. We pray you will watch over us this day, guide us in all that we may do, and may we be used of you for Jesus' sake.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that prayer be spread upon the journal.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The clerk please certifies to the correctness of the Daily Journal.
As Chief Clerk, I certify to the correctness of the journals for the 131st, 132nd, and 133rd days.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent this body approve the journal as certified by the Chief Clerk for the 131st through the 133rd days.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Brings us to introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction to the chambers? Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery B is my landlord who is here to watch the passage or, not to be presumptuous, the possible failure, I guess, of House Bill 472 regarding rights to the mentally ill, etc. She has an advanced degree in psychology or psychiatry or something like that, and is attending law school down at the University of Willamette, Leba Shah and Gallery B.
Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I have a guest in Gallery B from Ketchikan, who's the owner of the Yes Bay Lodge, about 40 miles outside of Ketchikan, Mr. Art Hack.
Are there further guests for introduction? If not, are there any messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The following citation has passed the Senate and is returned. In memoriam, Aldo Morrow by Representative Bradley and Senator Huber. This has been sent to enrolling. The following, and also, a citation commending Capital City Relocation Subcommittee by all members of the House and Senator Willis. Citation congratulating Solstice Incorporated by Representative Bradley. Citation commending Morton Hoppenfeld by Representatives Bradley and Senator Willis. They have all been sent to enrolling. The Senate has adopted the following citations, and they are transmitted for consideration. Citation honoring Governor George A. Parks by Senators Ray and all members of the Senate. Citation in memoriam General Daniel Chappie James, Jr. by Senator Bradley. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Rules is at House Bill 472 relating to services and commitment procedures for mentally ill persons under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 472 rules and that it do pass. And it attaches a new physical note. Report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Cotton, Nackack, Parr, Urien, and Miller. House Bill 472 appears on today's calendar. The Committee on Rules has had House Bill 692, requiring the election pamphlet to contain fiscal information for ballot propositions and under consideration a second time. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 692, second rules, and that it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Urien, Nackack, Parr, Cotton, and Miller. House Bill 692 appears on today's calendar. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions and citations?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 134 by the Hess Committee, relating to invasion of citizens' right to privacy by the Child Support Enforcement Agency, Department of Revenue.
Refer to the Committee on Health, Education, and Social Services.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 135 by the Commerce Committee, annulling a regulation of the Alaska Public Utilities Commission pertaining to the allocation of property costs, revenues, expenses, taxes, and reserves of each utility certified by the Commission.
Be referred to the Commerce Committee.
House Joint Resolution Number 79 by the Rules Committee, relating to rules proposed by the Department of the Treasury regulating firearms registration.
Refer to the State Affairs Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of House Bills.
House Bill 976 by the Commerce Committee, an act creating the Technical Services Contract Fund and providing for an effective date.
Refer to Commerce and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar, Representative Freeman. House, please, Tenetes. In order. Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, there will be a Democratic caucus on recess.
Representative Urien. There
will be a Republican caucus on recess.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, unless there are announcements before recess, I'll ask unanimous consent this body to stand in recess to the call to chair.
Hearing no objection, House is in recess. Representative Loveseth.
Mr. Speaker, may we revert to introduction of guests?
Hearing no objection, revert to introduction of guests. Representative Loveseth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, I have two good friends of mine from Cordova, Mr. and Mrs. George Ballum.
Are there further guests for introduction? If not, we'll continue with the regular order of business. We're down to consideration of the calendar. Would the clerk please read the first item on the calendar?
House Bill 472 by Parr, Cotton, and Greening, an act relating to services and commitment procedures for mentally ill persons and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 472 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommend it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 472 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Chatterton, Phillip, Bennett, Osi, Parr, Cotton, and Buchholz. The Committee on Rules has had House Bill 472 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 472 rules and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Cotton, Nackack, Parr, Urien, and Miller. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the Rules Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Is the clerk of amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 472 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Would the clerk please read House Bill 472 in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 472, Rules by the Rules Committee, an act relating to mentally ill and developmentally disabled persons and providing for an effective date.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, the current statutes on the mentally ill essentially go back to 1957 and some 1959 amendments. There are no recent amendments that amount to anything. In 1971, they changed the name of the commissioner from Health, Education, and Welfare to Health and Social Services. But essentially, we have a set of statutes which are 20 years old and make the unfortunate mistake of including the mentally ill and the developmentally disabled as being essentially identical. This problem has been recognized as long ago as 1965 when an attorney named John Hellenthal wrote a study for Governor Egan at that time pointing out the troubles with the statutes. In 1975, a task force in Anchorage worked up some proposed revision, which was introduced into the House in spring of 1976. The Hess Committee, which received the bill, did not work on it at that time. It was a 56-page bill. And so this last session, I had the bill reworked to shorten it somewhat, and reintroduced it. This past October, the Hess Committee held hearings, two in Anchorage, two in Fairbanks, one in Ketchikan, one in Soldotna, one in Kodiak. Then we came down here this year, we held hearing in Ketchikan. Also, we've had a total of 17 hearings and work sessions on the bill in the committee this here in Juneau. We've had input from the division of the Department of Health and Social Services, Mental Health Advisory Council of the Governor, the Mental Health Association, Alaska Legal Services, the Attorney General's Office, Governor's Council on the Handicapped and Gifted, Department of Education, and a number of other ones. And I think the bill is an improvement, certainly what we have presently in the statutes. Members do have a sectional analysis on their desk. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Is there further discussion? Ready for the question. Question is, shall House Bill 472 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, 5 excused.
So House Bill 472 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date section. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent to the roll call on the House Bill 472 be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Representative Miller.
Speaker, the next measure up for on the calendar for today is House Bill 681. I'll move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 681 be taken from today's calendar and returned to rules.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Would the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Bill 691 by Guy Akers, Anderson, Bradley, Buchholz, Carpenter, Cotton, Cooper, Dankworth, Duncan, Gardner, Greening, Haugen, Hayes, Kelly, Lathine, McKinnon, Malone, Meekins, Nackack, Osterbach, Parr, Rhodes, Smith, and Snyder. An act authorizing state aid to local governments for health facilities. The Committee on Hess has set House Bill 691 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 691 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Nackack, Chatterton, Phillips, O.C., Bennett, Parr, and Byrne. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 691 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with a Hess Committee substitute for House Bill 691 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Rode, Guy, Schaefer, Swanson, Buckholt, and Meekins. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the HESS committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Does the clerk have amendments to the committee substitute?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one by the Rules Committee. This one, has this one been duplicated? It's been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent the Rules Committee amendment be adopted.
There's objection. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, the people have had a chance to read the amendment. They may see that the language is nearly identical to the amended language that appears on the committee substitute. This amendment was actually prepared by the Department of Community and Regional Affairs and was checked off by the prime sponsor of the bill. And as far as I could determine, it says about the same thing, but it says it in a little better language. What it amounts to is the local governments don't receive the $4,000 amount from the state unless they expend a certain amount of local dollars. And rather than use the $800 figure that's in the bill presently, the department preferred to refer to it as the minimum cash disbursement required on cost of operation. As far as I'm concerned, the amendment doesn't change the substance of the bill. It merely reflects the bureaucrats' desires to have it a little more easy to understand.
Is there further objection to the adoption of Amendment Number 1? Hearing no further objection, Amendment Number 1 is adopted. Is the clerk of further amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent the committee substitute for House Bill 691 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Would the clerk please read House Bill 691 in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 691 by the Health. Excuse me. Oh, yeah. By the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act authorizing state aid to local governments for health facilities and providing for an effective date.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 691 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
34 yeas, no nays, 6 excused.
So House Bill 691 has passed the House.
Mr. Speaker, may we stand at ease?
The bill does carry an effective date clause.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 691 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The House, please stand at ease.
House, please come back to order. Will the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Bill 692 by Malone, an act requiring the election pamphlet to contain physical information for ballot propositions. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 692 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 692 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, concurred in by Bradley, Nackack, Miles, McKinnon, Dankworth, Kelly, and Mr. Lathine signed no recommendation. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 692 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 692 Finance and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Rode, Haugen, Guy, Schaefer, Swanson, Buckholt, and Cooper. Mr. Greening has no recommendation. The Committee on Rules has had House Bill 692 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 692 Rules and that it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Nackack, Miller, Cotton, and Buchholz. The Committee on Rules has had House Bill 692 under consideration a second time. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 692, second rules, and that it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Urien, Nackack, Parr, Cotton, and Miller. I have three committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the second rules committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the rules, second rule substitute is accepted. Does the clerk have further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker?
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 692 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Mr. Malone moves the advancement motion. Is there objection? Hearing none, committee substitute for House Bill 692 is advanced from second to third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill 692, second rules, by the Rules Committee. An act requiring the election pamphlet to contain physical information for ballot propositions and providing for an effective date.
Ready for the question?
No.
Before recognizing Mr. Kelly, I will state that when the voting time comes, I'll be voting at Mr. Malone's station and he at mine. Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, I just have one particular question, and I would like legislative intent to be shown through debate on the floor. In some of cases where we go with a general obligation bond to the voters, and I'm speaking now in terms of what's closest to me and that I'm aware of, is like a National Guard Army, for example. We might ask the voters to approve a GO bond of, say, $200,000, and we have in the wings $1,400,000 in federal matching funds the minute we put up the $200 million. So what I want to be certain about and what I'd like to hear a statement on is whether this analysis showing the amount of any increase or decrease in revenue does in fact include federal matching revenue dollars on some of these bond issues. I think it would make a large difference to the voters if they knew that by appropriating some money in state GOs, we were going to get four, five, six times as much from the federal government for the same project.
Any member may respond. Mr. Cotton?
Well, Mr. Speaker, all I can say in response to that is that since there will be, for each ballot proposition which would require increased expenditures by the state, three analyses of that measure, and either the proponents, opponents, or the Office of Budget and Management could show those figures that Mr. Kelly has referred to. I don't think there's a prohibition, but there certainly isn't a requirement for information such as that or any other specific information. So I think that for the purposes of his intent to show some legislative intent, I think that his need has been satisfied now, unless he wants to correct me.
Representative Swanson?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'll see that Mr. Kelly's wishes are complied with.
Are you ready for the question? For the House's committee substitute for House Bill, I beg your pardon, Mr. Greening.
Mr. Speaker, I a few hesitations about this bill. Not that it isn't designed to accomplish a worthy purpose, and that is to have informed electric on these ballot propositions. But I have a question whether this would apply to referendums as well, and if so, whether the proper body to determine the fiscal note to appear in the voter pamphlet should be the Office of Budget Management and not the legislature in a referendum situation. The other question is whether you can get an impartial analysis. I mean, I think that's somewhat of a myth that the Section 2, I think, deals with one way to approach it, and that is to have the opposing sides in a question that appears on a ballot prepare notes, and as you noted, probably on any controversial issue is probably never such thing as an impartial analysis. And I wonder whether sponsor has some answers to that problem.
Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the point raised by Representative Greening is a very good one. How do you get an impartial analysis of anything? And I think that his conclusion is right, that you don't get an impartial analysis of anything. One of the reasons, though, in the bill, that the word analysis is used rather than just showing the amount of any increase or decrease in revenue or cost to the state, et cetera, is that an analysis includes not only the conclusions but the assumptions upon which that analysis is based, so that to the extent there are biases appear in the analysis, those biases can be traced back to the assumptions and attacked at their root, and people can argue over the correct things. The main purpose of the bill itself is to cover an item that in a lot of respects right now is not adequately covered in the discussion of ballot measures, and that is the proposed cost. I think that the generation of cost information by the state, as well as by the proponents and opponents of a particular piece of legislation, is an important question on any ballot measure and should be debated. Now, the conclusions that people come to and the analyses that they choose to believe in and the sets of assumptions that they believe most correct will determine, in the mind of the individual voter, how much weight he gives to the cost of a piece of legislation on the ballot and whether or not he should vote for it. But first of all, the reason for the word analysis is so that we don't just have flat statements as to what costs are, but the reasons that those conclusions were reached. And I think that makes the question a lot clearer. It gives you a reason to, or a way to understand what biases might exist in the analysis. Secondly, the second question that Representative Greening raised is to whether or not the Division of Budget and Management should do this as opposed, say, the Legislative Finance Division or some other agency of state government. The legislature, even at present, traditionally relies on the Division of Budget and Management to review and approve the fiscal notes on items of legislation introduced not only by the administration but also by members or committees of the legislature. And the legislature, in the case of legislation before it, of course, has the authority to revise those fiscal notes. But the reason that the Division of Budget and Management was chosen relates also to one of the points that Mr. Greening made. Suppose we do have a referendum that's on a law that was passed by the legislature. One in recent memory, of course, was a legislative pay raise. I think it would be very difficult for the, say, Legislative Finance Division to come up with anything approaching an impartial analysis under those conditions. I think there'd be a lot of pressure on people there to come out with something less than a professional analysis, or there could be at least, and I would hate to put them in that type of position. I think that as nearly as we can tell, the Division of Budget and Management at present has in the past, and hopefully will in the future, prepare professionally sound cost analyses or analyses of costs or of costs and revenues. And since they're outside the legislative process, at least one step beyond the agencies of the legislature, I think that they're in a better position to provide impartial analyses. Now, that isn't sufficient by itself, and that's why the bill goes on to provide that the proponents and opponents of a particular ballot measure will also have an opportunity to state their case and the reasons for it. And I don't think that you ever will get an impartial analysis by anyone. Some sort of bias is going to creep in, but I think that the requirement that it be an analysis rather than a flat conclusion, and also subjecting it to the process of rebuttal by the opponents and proponents of a piece of legislation on the ballot or ballot measure, will do as much as we can do to putting the information in front of the voters that they require for intelligent debate and decision on ballot measures in Alaska. So the subjects that Representative Greening called up were discussed in the formulation of the legislation and were considered. And I think that I think they're adequately covered. Some time, it was last week, Mr. Speaker, I distributed to the members' desks when the bill was on the calendar earlier some pages from the California Voters Information Pamphlet for the November 276 general election, showing how the information is prepared in the state of California. And a similar presentation, I think, would be envisioned in the state of Alaska. The bill has been changed to comply with some of the recommendations of the Division of Budget Management, some of the recommendations of the Legislative Finance Division, and other members that have reviewed it. Unless people have suggestions for improvements on the legislation short of defeating the bill, I would urge the members to vote for House Bill 692. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are you ready for the question? Mr. Reaney?
Mr. Speaker, I want to drag this out because I have a feeling this bill is going to pass. I think the problem is not with Section 2, because I think that's exactly what we need. In the finance version, we had a requirement that the analysis be submitted, or draft copies of the analysis be available for public scrutiny. And I think one improvement this bill could be, and we could maybe consider it on reconsideration, would be to allow those analyses done by so-called impartial analysis done by the Budget Office of Budget Management to be submitted to groups that are opponents or proponents of the proposition, so they could examine the assumptions. Because it's not the, although the analysis may be fairly done, it's the assumptions from which they start that produces the figures that can be challenged. Now, that the material dealing with greyhound racing, I was just going over that the other day, and it's really, you can see from the opponents and the proponents of the measure start from completely different assumptions, which produce completely different figures. And that would be true, of course, of budget and management when it comes out with an analysis. And unless some time is given for someone to really scrutinize those assumptions, you can have a figure that may be in between the opponents and proponents, but is completely wrong because of the assumptions. And it really, it injects, I think, into the process another element which I think could be adequately handled by both sides. I mean, the voter will have to make up his mind during the debate, of course, but I think this particular mechanism will lend an air of an impartial analysis. It will be called, because the law says it, an impartial analysis. It'll give it a certain weight that maybe it won't deserve. And that was my main problem with it, not with Section 2, it's with Section 1. And so I still have a few lingering reservations about it.
Mr. Malone?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hope that Representative Greening and I are starting with the same assumption that the legislation will pass. Beyond that, Mr. Speaker, I think the important thing here is this, is through a formal mechanism of legislation and through the information distribution system we have now in the voter information pamphlet, is to inject into the public process the debate on ballot measures, the questions of cost of ballot measures. And I think that's the real aim of this legislation. I think that probably even an arbitrary and highly biased analysis by a legislative committee, say, if such a thing were possible, were to appear on the in the voter information pamphlet, it at least would raise the level of debate, the public debate, on the questions of costs and revenues associated with ballot measures. And that's what the aim is here, to do that. And when the question is raised, then people start seeking their own answers, and in our type of society, if they're interested in doing that, they can generally find those answers. There's nothing, of course, in the legislation to prevent the opponents and proponents from getting the information or the analysis, copies of it, from the Division of Budget Management prior to publication of the voter information pamphlet. In fact, I think that the suggestion is a very good one. Probably that's where the proponents and opponents of legislation would start, with a review of that analysis by the division. So I don't see that as being left out of the process. And I think that the if we're going to place increasing reliance, and I think we're beginning to show that we are, on the settlement of statewide questions by statewide ballots, then I think that the more information that voters have and the higher the level of debate on those questions, the better public policy will be determined through that method. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Ready for question, Mr. Speaker? Mr. Byrne?
Just a brief comment on this. I do share Mr. Greening's apprehensions about section number one. Section number two looks okay, but in section one, I'm concerned that a hostile administration or even a hostile legislature could use something like this for purposes that were not proper. And of course, my concern would be that the administration might use something like this against the Homestead Initiative. If the analysis was not totally impartial, was not presented properly, you know, it could change people's thinking, and I wouldn't want that. This is the type of thing I believe ought to just season for about a year yet, and while we think about it, it hasn't received that much discussion, you know, in public hearing. You know, just we've only looked at it for 2 or 3 months, and I think it'd be a good idea to lay this aside. And with all respects to the speaker, I'd like to see this laid aside while we went on to some other, perhaps more important business. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 692 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has every member voted? The clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Thirty-two yeas, four nays, four excused.
And so House Bill 692 has passed the House. The bill carries an effective date clause. Mr. Malone.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 692 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the effective date clause is adopted. The House, please stand at ease.
Representative Miles.
Speaker, there'll be a Democratic caucus on recess.
Representative Urien. House, please come to order. Representative Urien.
The Republicans will talk about the Democrats at the primary session.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent. We stand in recess to the call of the chair.
Well, I wanted to reconsider, but I'll do it when we come back, I guess. Then.
Hearing no objection, House is in recess. You have the calendar under consideration. Would the clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Joint Resolution Number 75 by the Rules Committee, relating to the federal appropriation to the Land and Water Conservation Fund. The Committee on Resources has had House Joint Resolution 75 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was sent by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, concurred in by Eliason, Smith, Urien, Akers, Miller, Osterbach, and Snyder. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, unless members have amendments, I'll ask unanimous consent that H.A.R. 75 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, please read House Joint Resolution 75 in third reading.
House Joint Resolution Number 75 by the Rules Committee, relating to the federal appropriation to the Land and Water Conservation Fund.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Joint Resolution 75 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, 9 excused.
So House Joint Resolution 75 is passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Joint Resolution Number 76 by the Finance Committee, requesting financial assistance from the federal government to restore state highway damage occasioned by the construction of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. The Committee on Finance has had House Joint Resolution 76 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Duncan, Meekins, Freeman, Rode, Guy, Swanson, and Buchholz. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, unless there are amendments, I'll ask unanimous consent that H.J.R. 76 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Would the clerk please read House Joint Resolution 76 in third reading?
House Joint Resolution Number 76 by the Finance Committee, requesting financial assistance from the federal government to restore state highway damage occasioned by the construction of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Joint Resolution 76 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, 8 excused.
So House Joint Resolution 76 passed the House. The clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Joint Resolution Number 77 by the Rules Committee by request, authorizing the Alaska Power Authority to participate in the construction of a coal-fired electric generating project near Healy by incurring indebtedness for that project. The Committee on Finance has had House Joint Resolution 77 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Rode, Haugen, Guy, Swanson, Meekins, Duncan, Greening, and Cooper. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that H.J.R. 77 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Would the clerk please read House Joint Resolution 77 in third reading?
House Joint Resolution Number 77 by the Rules Committee by request, authorizing the Alaska Power Authority to participate in the construction of a coal-fired electric generating project near Healy by incurring indebtedness for that project.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Joint Resolution Number 77 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, 6 excused.
So House Joint Resolution Number 77 has passed the House. Brings us to the end of today's calendar and down to unfinished business. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the House concur in the Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 947.
There is objection. Clerk, please read the bill by title.
Free Conference Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 947 by the Free Conference Committee. an act making supplemental appropriations to the Legislative Affairs Agency and Legislative Finance Division and providing for an effective date.
Clerk, please read the bill by title.
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 947 by the Finance Committee, an act making supplemental appropriations to the Legislative Affairs Agency and Legislative Finance Division and providing for an effective date.
Representative Urien. House, please stand at ease. There is objection to the motion. Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Of course, the effect of the motion is to disregard the pre-conference committee report on House Bill 947. I felt it appropriate that I make the motion since I did sign the pre-conference committee report, and that indicated that I did support the action of that committee and support the now controversial provisions. I've since reconsidered my decision to approve that report, and so therefore by my moving the Senate amendments to the House bill, that indicates my support for the original bill. The difference between the House bill and the Senate bill is about $11,000 in Section 1, which is not considered necessary for the operation of the legislature, and so therefore would not substantially alter the original bill that the House passed.
Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I applaud Mr. Cotton and his reconsidering his vote of last week, and I support his motion. I think the Senate Committee Substitute is an acceptable tool that most of us in this body can accept.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I objected to adoption of the Senate Committee Substitute and still do. Not for what's in it. Actually, I have no quarrel with the document as concerning the appropriations that are enumerated there, but more specifically for what's not in it, and that is the $75,000 requested by the other body for a legislative for a joint interim committee of the Legislative Council concerned with energy needs in rural Alaska. I'm going to have to vote no for this on this matter, Mr. Speaker, because it indicates to me it's the only way I can register my support for the appropriation that's been deleted. I guess you can vote yes if you feel that there are no energy needs currently being unmet in rural Alaska, or if you feel that there may be energy needs, but they're none of the legislature's business, or that even if there are needs out there that the legislature would be incapable of identifying them and suggesting ways to correct them. Or you might even vote yes if you think that the administration has done a great job in the last several years in meeting these needs. I can't answer any of those questions yes, Mr. Speaker. Therefore, I've got to say no on the question before us.
Speaker, for the record, I don't choose any of the above-mentioned reasons to vote yes for this. I don't necessarily oppose a $75,000 appropriation for a study of this sort. The problem I have with it is the appropriateness of its placement on this vehicle. I think that I am not alone in those concerns. That's it.
Representative Schaefer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to have to oppose this. I think that the previous speaker has mentioned earlier that he did sign the pre-conference report. I think it's a matter of ethics to really judge whether or not the person's either in favor or not in favor. And I think that Representative Cotton, although he has changed his mind and pointed out that he's not supporting any particulars involved in the issue, but I think that it's well known throughout this body here that there is some doubt, and I'm going to oppose the motion.
Representative Urien. Mr. Speaker, it's been pointed out that the other body in its wisdom desires the money to study energy needs in the bush, and that maybe they're smarter than we are, that they have determined that there are needs out there that we have not. I don't believe that's the case, Mr. Speaker. If you'll note, on the 16th of this month, which is less than a week ago tomorrow, the Senate passed this bill. Now, those needs evidently didn't exist a week ago, and now they exist since the Free Conference Committee met. They exist. Now, if the Senate was willing to adopt the bill less than a week ago without the $75,000, I'm sure they'll be happy that we, in our wisdom, agreed with their wishes and go along with it. And I ask the members to adopt the motion.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, it must be one of those strange, unlucky days. Earlier, Mr. Greening voted with Mr. Byrne, and now I'm going to vote with Mr. Urien. But at any rate, I guess that happens sometimes. One of the reasons I'm going to vote in favor of the motion is that I'm quite sure we're going to have another opportunity to vote on that same $75,000 again. I mean, it just seems to me that that's going to happen. And since I'm so confident of that, I will have no trouble voting for the motion, knowing that those needs will be met.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, the figure might not be $75,000 the next time.
Representative Phillips.
Could we have the motion read again, please?
The motion was to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 947, thus adopting Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 947. Clerk, please read the bill by title.
Excuse me. Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill number 947 by the Finance Committee. An act making supplemental appropriations to the Legislative Affairs Agency and Legislative Finance Division and providing for an effective date.
Ready for the question. Question is, shall the House concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 947? Members may proceed to vote. If any members fail to vote, clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 12 nays, 5 excused.
So the House has concurred in Senate amendments to House Bill 947, thus adopting Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 947. Clerk will please notify the Senate. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, ask unanimous consent that Representative O.C. be excused from the call of the House through Saturday.
Hearing no objection. There is objection. House, please stand at ease. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, several members have inquired of me of whether we plan to work next Monday, which apparently is Memorial Day. And just to advise the group, chances are very strong that we will be meeting Monday. In fact, there's at least a pretty good chance we'll also be meeting this coming Saturday. So, but in any case, be advised and don't make any firm plans to travel. Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent we revert to committee reports.
Hearing no objection, revert to reports of standing committees. Clerk of further committee reports.
The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 568, providing for the establishment of an Alaska State Office in Copenhagen, Denmark, under consideration. A majority of the committee reports it back with individual recommendations. Report was signed by Mr. Bradley, Chairman, signing do pass, NACAC, signing do not pass, Lathien and Dankworth, signing no recommendation, Kelly, Miles, and Bradley. I have no, there's a further referral to finance. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
If there are no further standing committee reports, we'll return to the regular order of business, unless there's objection. We're under unfinished business. Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to bring up reconsideration of SCR 88 at this time.
Places a resolution before us in second reading. Would the clerk please read Senate Concurrent Resolution 88, second reading.
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 88 by the Rules Committee by request, directing the Legislative Council to accomplish a substantive revision of the alcoholic beverage laws. I have a proposed amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Speaker, will you stand at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that SCR 88 be held over until tomorrow's calendar.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Is there further unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Schaefer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration on my vote on House Bill 472.
Clerk, please note Representative Schaefer's notice of reconsideration of his vote on House Bill 472. Representative Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask that House Joint Resolution Number 7 be returned to the Judiciary Committee from the Rules Committee. This is a constitutional amendment on unicameralism.
Hearing no objection, House Joint Resolution 7 be returned to the Judiciary Committee. Is there further unfinished business to come before the House? The I believe the chair missed a motion earlier in the session here this afternoon. There was a motion to excuse Representative Osi from the call of the House from the balance this week, and there was a recess and at ease. I don't think the motion was ruled upon. There's no objection. The motion is adopted. Further unfinished business come before the House. Before going on to special orders, sort of by way of an announcement or explanation, matters of procedure. Technically speaking, under our rules, any motion can be reconsidered except the motion to amend a bill or a resolution, and I suppose a motion to amend a citation. But we had a notice placed last Friday on a pre-conference committee report. Conference committee reports are amendments to bills or resolutions in the technical sense, so reconsideration does not extend to those. As long as the matter is within the reach of the body, any member may make a motion regarding it at any time. But technically speaking, because it is an amendment to a bill or a resolution, they're not reachable by reconsideration. Coming down to special orders, are there any special orders? Representative Smith.
This was still on. Mr. Speaker, I'd like the privilege of the floor to do a little show and tell.
Hearing no objection.
It's the best response I've had all year. Now for the disappointment. My mailbox has been inundated lately with mail from the state I grew up in, Illinois. It comes from parents and friends of my parents who have been receiving buku pieces of mail, mostly from the Alaska Coalition. We've had a lot of struggle in here deciding whether or not we were going to work against H.R. 39. We've turned down a lot of good things that might have brought the vote up a little more. Now, regardless of anyone's feelings, I've stated this before, our Statehood Act has still been broached. I mean, we do not have our land entitlement. The land has not been conveyed to us. And whether or not you favor the wilderness, I think that first things come first. I'd like to read a couple of excerpts from this to let you see what people are receiving at random. My parents are not a member of a conservation group. My father is a city official, but he's not an elected city official. He's strictly appointed. He finds no reason he would be on their mailing list, nor is there any reason for some of the other people who have received these mail-outs. Here's one. There's a little box down here where it says Dividing Up Alaska. And it lists four dates, 1867, 375 million acres purchased from Russia, dash, all federal. 1959, and this is the one that really stuck in my craw, 104 million acres given, given is in italics, to the new state of Alaska, parentheses, they could choose any and choose the best, end parentheses. We do not have our 104 million acres yet, but people outside believe we do, and they think we got to choose from the best, not just the lands that were already unreserved. Another thing that I found interesting, when we went to Colorado, the coalition had called the Speaker of the House ahead of our arrival, said we were spending $500,000 to propagandize. $500,000, that's what the figure was. That was before we had passed any money for any of us to go anywhere. And yet we haven't done anything on this scale, and it says, with seemingly unlimited money, our opponents are waging all-out war against the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act. Aiding them are the governor and the state legislature, the Alaska Congressional Delegation, and others. We've got unlimited money. Aren't you glad to hear that? This was big news to me. It also says, in the largest statehood land grant by far, of course this is true, bigger than all California, and in the land grant for justice to the natives, Congress has been generous indeed. It goes on, a place called The Issues, how your representative can help, and it encourages everyone to write to his representative. That's certainly within fair play. I'm not saying that it isn't. It says, the Interior Committee adopted an amendment allowing commercial trappers and hunting guides to continue their enterprises within the new national parks for another 20 years. This unprecedented loophole would give these hunting guides a private monopoly on federal park lands. Then in italics, urge your representative to support amendments which would protect the integrity of our national park system by deleting this provision to grandfather commercial trapping and hunting guides in the Alaska National Parks. Now they want to take away our livelihood. We're supposed to be fighting for the subsistence. We're supposed to be fighting for our jobs. And they don't even want to allow 20 years for people to phase out and find something else to do in a land that's job hungry. On the last page, it says a priority task, and it lists the order that people should do things. And it says, it does not help to mention your membership in conservation groups, so simply write as an individual active citizen. I find this a little hard to believe. I find it kind of neat, though, that they have the funding that allows them to publish a phone number. It's called 24-Hour Alaska Coalition Hotline, and it gives the area code and the phone number in red at the bottom of the page so that no one can miss it. This is the second one of these I've received from back in Illinois. The first one was 8 pages. This one is really a synopsis. It's only 4. This is a nice slick publication. It says 7 cold facts about Alaska. Right? Beautiful, isn't it? Each fact, as it opens up, the other side is a very nice panorama of Mount McKinley. I don't want you to miss this. It's really nice, really pretty. The facts aren't very substantive. It's strictly an emotional appeal. Now, I'm not saying these people are wrong to go out and fight for what they believe in. I think they're absolutely right. But I think we all need to be a little bit embarrassed that we have not tried to present to the public what our view is, the land that we live in and the land we supposedly care about. I don't say wilderness is wrong, but I say Alaska should have the right to determine for herself what she wants her future to be, and that her 104 million acres should come first. And we haven't done much to guarantee that our statehood rights are going to be honored.
Representative Haugen. Representative Rudd.
May I talk about the Hippie Homestead Act for a minute?
Without objection, you have the floor, Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, about this time last year, we voted on the so-called Hippie Homestead Act, and I can recall offering an amendment on the floor, which I hoped would guarantee that the land that would be available would go to our young people. As I recall, the amendment was a provision that had been originally in the bill and that had been taken out in committee, and that provision was that anyone who got land under the Hippie Homestead Act would not be able to own other land in the state of Alaska. And I thought that if we added that provision to the bill, it would guarantee that the land would be available to our young people. Well, the first drawings were held under that act the other day, and I just want to take note of the fact that the length of residency in the state, of course, is the primary qualifier for getting land under that act. The first person who got land under that act had been in Alaska for 77 years. The last person who got land under that act had been in Alaska for 36 years.
Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to have the privilege of the floor under special orders to speak about the Alpetco contract.
Without objection, you have the floor, Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, the Royalty Oil Board was considering amendments this weekend in Anchorage, and Representative Miles and I traveled up there to propose an additional one to the five that they were considering. As you would remember, the House passed an amendment passed the contract condition on the approval of an amendment. At that time, it was contended that any amendment would kill the contract. Since that time, the governor and Alpetco have agreed to five amendments, and therefore seemed reasonable to us that they might want to consider our amendment. So we did make that presentation, and the amendment, of course, is a very simple one, very reasonable one, I think. It was rejected, however. The amendment was that, quote, buyer agrees that beginning 6 years after the effective date, all oil purchased under the terms of this agreement shall be used or processed in the state of Alaska. Now, you have to wonder, why are we engaging in this contract? The contract, of course, calls for the selling of the state's royalty oil, which is worth anywhere from $8 to $12 billion, to the Alpetco company. Now, we don't receive any additional money for that. We can get the value of that oil just by selling it to the producers. So when we take it in kind and resell it to a petrochemical company, it's not to get increased revenue directly from the sale. I think we all know that. The idea is to get the benefits of having that oil processed within the state, those benefits being jobs, revenue to the state, and stimulation to the economy of the state of Alaska. And I think those benefits are worthwhile, and we indeed want them. We have a contract, though, that doesn't provide for that. There is no provision in the current contract which guarantees that the oil will be processed within the state. In fact, the contract would allow, if the project was not feasible, or for one reason or another was shut down before the length of the contract expired, that is 27 years into the future, that Alpetco or its creditors would have the right to the state's royalty oil for all that time, even though it wasn't being processed within the state. You know, in 10 or 15 years, there might be another reason to have the oil processed within the state, and that's availability of the products that are produced, gasoline, fuel oil, and other petrochemical products. And we don't have that provision, and I think it's the only reason to have a contract. It's the essence of a contract, and it makes no sense to have a contract to try to get in-state processing of the oil and then to have to give away the guarantee of in-state processing in order to get the contract. That's extremely unreasonable. So I was very upset with the Royalty Oil Board for turning that down, and of course they have their own reasons, but none of those reasons make any sense when the entire point of having the contract and having selling our royalty oil is to have it processed within the state. So I would hope that at least the House members would stay by their thinking. You know, we have three other contracts that we've approved here, one to North Pole Refinery, to Tesoro Refinery, and Golden Valley. And all three of them, of course, have the provision in it that requires that all the oil purchase be processed within the state. It's very consistent. It's, of course, the only reason to have them. And yet, in this contract, the most important single feature of it has been rejected by the Royalty Oil Board, rejected by Alpetco, and rejected by the administration. And I'd hope that we'd stand firm and make sure that that is a condition of our approval of any contract.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, I'd like the privilege of the floor to praise Representative Meekins.
You have the floor, Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, we've seen an example of true sincerity. The man was involved in a major issue that he has strong feelings about and was really addressing this body, because right in the middle of his speech, they took the TV camera out of the room and he went right on going.
Are there any more special orders? Announcements, committee meetings. Representative Gardner.
Judiciary Committee is going to meet at 4 o'clock, and I'd ask all the members to be there. They haven't been hearing me lately when I announce meetings, but we're going to be meeting today at 4 o'clock on House Bill 211, the Alaska Land Commission.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, Finance Committee will meet at 9 o'clock in the morning. Consideration will be House Bill 838 North Slope Hall Road, House Bill 750 Special Appropriation to U of A Landstat, House Bill 925 Alaska Film Commission, House Bill 926 Appropriation for Film Commission, HCR 85 State Personnel Act, House Bill 946 Withdrawal from the Federal Social Security System, House Bill 767 Compensation of Violent Crimes, and House Bill 720 Home Sites.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, the House Committee will meet at 4 o'clock, and because of the lateness of the hour, we'll only take two of the bills that are listed on the calendars. Senate Bill 453 dealing with student loans, and Senate Bill 332 examination of eyesight for driver's licenses.
Further announcements. Is there further business to come before the House? Representative Miller.
Speaker, if not, I'll ask unanimous consent this body. Oh, excuse me, before we. No, that's for tomorrow. I'll ask unanimous consent we stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Hearing no objection, the House is adjourned.